Thank you everyone for joining the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is KIX Storage 101, a look into KIX dynamic storage areas updated for KIX Transaction Server version 5.2. The presenters are Sarah Bertram and Eric Hobb. Sarah has been with IBM for 30 years and a member of the KIX Level 2 support team since 1996. She enjoys working with customers and looking at dumps. She specializes in the storage area of KIX. Eric has been with IBM for 8 years and is a member of the KIX Level 2 support team. He graduated from the Pennsylvania State University with a bachelor's degree in computer engineering. He enjoys working with customers on various KIX problems. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Sarah.
Thank you very much, Joseph. Moving on to slide 2, as Joseph mentioned, this is an updated version of a presentation we did back in 2010. Hopefully, at the end of this presentation, you will have a better understanding of exactly what a dynamic storage area is. We're going to have a look at a typical KIX address space. We're going to discuss some SIT parameters that affect storage. We're going to talk about above the bar storage, as that's one area that we've really grown in. We're going to break down the DSAs and what they're used for. We're going to try to go over how exactly CICF manages these DSAs. We're going to touch on some 64-bit APIs. Then we're going to get into what Eric and I do a lot, is looking at system dumps, and we're going to give you a glance at what Storage Manager looks like in there, as well as going over some control blocks, and then going to touch on the KIX Explorer, looking at storage there in real time. Moving on to slide 3.
So what is a DSA, or dynamic storage area? And basically, it's a storage area acquired at initialization, which is used and managed by KIX to run your transactions and applications. There's pretty much three separate areas. There's a DSA, which is below the line, below the 16 megabyte line, and it's also referred to as your 24-bit storage. Now we have an EDSA, or extended DSA, that's above the 16 megabyte line. That's also referred to as your 31-bit storage. And you have the GDSA, which is above the 2 gigabyte bar, and that's your 64-bit storage. So going on to slide 4, what does a typical ZOS address space look like? Each address space will contain a common area and private area, and there'll be a common and private area both below and above the 16 megabyte line, and then there's also area above the bar. Each address space on an MVS image has access to the same common areas, but they can't access the private areas. And the DSAs are allocated from within the private storage areas. So going on to slide 5, this is just kind of like a picture from a dump using one of the verb exit commands. This kind of gives you kind of a picture view of what I just described. So you can see the 16 megabyte line that's kind of in the middle, and then up below that 16 megabyte line we have common storage areas, and then we have the user regions above and below the line, and they kind of grow up. They grow bottom up, and it's from within these user region areas is where the DSA is located. So going on to slide 6. And this is kind of a picture of a ZOS address space above the bar. You can see that we have a user private area from the 2 gigabyte bar all the way up to the 2 terabyte line. And then there's a shared storage area that is, you know, reserved for MVS from the 2 terabytes up to 512 terabytes. And then there's another private area from 512 terabytes up to 16 exabytes. So as you can see, there's lots of storage available above the bar. So going on to slide 7.
So now we want to talk about some SIT parameters that affect storage. So the first one is called the DSA limit, and that's specifying the total amount of storage that you want allocated to the below-the-line DSA limit. In general, when Eric and I are looking at dumps, we see probably 7 megs, maybe about the average. Some we've seen up to 9 meg, and that's going to be totally dependent on how much virtual storage is available below the line after the common is allocated. And so you're very limited. And DSA limit is just one of those things where you try to move as much as you can above the line and now above the bar to have a lower usage for DSA limit. So then the eDSA limit parameter, that's just your 31-bit DSA. Again, we've seen anywhere from 500 meg to a gig DSA. It just depends on your storage usage and what's needed. There's then a parameter called rent pigum, and this specifies whether you want Kix to allocate the read-only DSAs, which are the RDSA and ERDSA, from key zero storage. So we like this parameter because any programs that are link-edited reentrant will be put into key zero storage if you have this specified, and it will not, it protects it from being overlaid, and that's a really good feature. Otherwise, it can be put like in Kix key or user key, and it could be subject to possible overlays. Then there's storage protection, storage prot, and this specifies whether or not you want storage protection in a Kix region, and that means if you have it specified, that means we have something called user key, which is key 9, as well as Kix key, which is key 8. So if you don't have it specified, everything is in key 8. And so there's really no protection for, let's say, my Kix control blocks and things. So again, we like storage protection active. There's an option storage recovery. Now, this is specific to something called storage violations, which we'll touch on a little bit later. And basically, storage recovery specifies if it's on whether CICS will cover storage that's involved in a violation. If you get a storage violation and you do not have storage recovery active, that piece of storage is basically orphaned and will not be able to be used by any other task. The next parameter is transaction isolation, or TRAN-ISO. So that, along with storage protection, adds another level of protection. And what it does is it isolates at a transaction level their storage from other transactions. So, again, it's basically the best level of protection that you can have. And then the last one we wanted to touch on is something called TS main limit. In the past, temp storage queues were just gotten out of the eDSA. Well, now there's a TS main limit parameter that you can specify anywhere from 1 meg to 32 gig, and it's totally dependent on how much temp storage you typically use, and that's, again, utilizing above the bar. So it's a nice feature now. Moving on to slide 8. If you know, in the previous update, we talked about having a GDSA, but I didn't have any GDSA limit. So GDSA is a little unique. There is no SIPARM. Instead, it's controlled by the ZOSPARM MEM limit. And basically, the GDSA is equal to whatever your MEM limit is. Specification is. And the MEM limit you can specify in 3 different ways. You can specify it in the sys1.parmlive, you can specify it in your JCL, or you can specify it in an IES USI exit. Moving on to slide 9, we just wanted to touch on, you know, the fact that we are utilizing the above the bar or 64-bit storage more now. Initially, when Kix first delved into it, we just kind of used it for channels and containers. But now we have moved our internal trace table to above the bar. JVM servers, JVMs are, use a lot of storage, and that's moved to above the bar. As we mentioned, the TS main is there. We've got some new APIs, 64-bit APIs, to allow some programs to try to use storage up there. And then a lot of internal Kix control blocks are above the bar now, as well as we have a lot of our subpools, which we're going to get into later, that are also above the bar, trying to, you know, utilize that 31 and below the, you know, line storage less and less. So moving on to slide 10. So now we want to talk about the actual DSA. So as Eric mentioned, we get main this DSA initialization. It's one big kind of chunk of storage. Then we break it down. So right here we're going to talk about the below-the-line DSA. And it gets broken down into four different kind of sub-DSAs. The first is called the CDSA, and it is the Kix DSA. And as you would expect, it's the Kix key storage area. And all different types of storage can get in there. It's mentioned here, non-reentrant, R mode, Kix key programs get in there. There's Kix key task storage that will also go in there. And we have lots of different subpools that will come out of the Kix DSA. Then there's a user DSA or UDSA, and now that is going to be, if you have storage protection on, that would be in key 9. And basically, that's only going to have kind of one subpool, and it's the task-related storage. Any executive get main done by applications would be below the line, that is, would come out of the UDSA. Then we have something called the shared DSA or SDSA. And again, that's for get main specifying a shared option that might be utilized by applications on different transactions, as well as Kix utilizes it for some other subpools. In this case, non-reentrant programs can go in there. And then the last one is that RDSA or read-only DSA, and again, that'll be in key 0 if you have rent, pig, and equal protect, and reentrant programs that run below the line would be put there. Moving on to slide 11. So the only difference now, we're moving on to the 31-bit DSA, which is the EDSA, and pretty much it's the same, right? We have a Kix ECDSA, the EUDSA for the user storage, the shared above the line, the ESDSA, the ERDSA, and there's one additional DSA called the Extended Trusted DSA, or ETDSA. And that just is storage utilized strictly by Kix for any security-related control blocks that come out of the 31-bit. So moving on to slide 12, now we get to the above-the-bar GDSA. And this is a little different. It only has three sub-DSAs. It has a Kix DSA, so that's called the G. Whenever you see G, we'll be talking here, that kind of refers to our above-the-bar or 64-bit control blocks or areas. So the GC DSA is the Kix DSA. The GU DSA is the above-the-bar user. And again, I think we're going to mention some 64-bit APIs that can be used to get main storage there. And then the GS DSA, which is the shared storage above the bar. And again, CICS utilizes the GC DSA and GS DSA for subpools that it uses. Moving on to slide 13.
So within each DSA, as Sarah hinted at a little bit earlier, storage is arranged in subpools. There are subpools within each of these DSAs. And these subpools are acquired as needed, and Kix gives them each a unique name. So, and these names try to represent what that storage is. So, like, for example, I've listed three of them here, which is the SMSHRU24. And this is, you know, shared. This subpool name is for shared storage control blocks that reside below the line because of the 24. And then we have the SMSHRU31, which is shared storage above the line, as well as SMSHRU64 for above the bar. So that's just, you know, there's many subpools. That's just an example of three of them. We'll show you a few more later on in this presentation. So going on to slide 14, the subpools for for user tasks, for the user dynamic storage areas are a little bit different, as in there basically is only one. There's one per task, but their names are pretty much kind of there's B00 followed by the task number of the storage that acquired of the task that acquired that storage. And that would be for below-the-line user task storage. You have U00 and then the transaction number, and that's for above-the-line, as well as an H00, and that's for above-the-bar task storage. These might look a little bit familiar in the sense that when you get storage violations, this is what CICS is checking. Before, at the beginning and ending of each piece of user task storage, we'll have what is called a check zone, and the check zone is pretty much the subpool name, and they must match or a storage violation has been detected. So going on to slide 15.
So now we've talked about the big DSA broken down into the sub-DSAs, and we just kind of want to touch on how KIX manages the actual DSAs. You know, how does it actually handle it? And so when we talk about DSAs, we're going to talk about something called extents. So the way KIX basically allocates storage to these individual DSAs is referred to as something called an extent. Now, there's different sizes for these extents. So when we're dealing with the DSA below the line, the allocation is in a quarter meg or 256K. Extent. That's the size. If we're talking about 31-bit or above the line, the allocation goes up to 1 meg. So everything's allocated as a meg chunk. And then above the bar, the unit of allocation goes up to 1 gig. Okay. So when you think of DSAs, we basically break them down into the extent sizes. Some information about these extents is once an extent is allocated to a particular DSA, it can only be used by that DSA. In other words, it can't be shared amongst DSAs. So if I give a 256K to the C DSA and it's being used by that, the shared DSA, SDSA, can't go take a little piece of it. It stays there. One thing to note about the way KIX, when he allocates storage, he uses the first fit rather than a best fit. So, when you think about a KIX region going along in a day, extents will get allocated underneath it. And when a request comes in for storage, CICS just kind of goes to the first DSA that it'll fit in. It's not necessarily the best fit. And the reason we mention that is sometimes that can lead to some cases of fragmentation. But in general, it works pretty good. So once a DSA is allocated, we will never put it back to, like, the free pool. It'll kind of just sit there underneath that DSA. Now, if it's totally free underneath that DSA, and another DSA is needing more storage that it can't satisfy, a total free extent can be stolen or given to a different DSA. So remember I said they can't share an extent, but we can allow a totally free extent to be stolen and given to another DSA when needed. So just on page, going to slide 16, it's just kind of a notes page. And the other thing I didn't mention is we talk about these extent sizes, 256 below, 1 meg above, and then 1 gig above the bar. So if a request comes in below the line that's greater than a quarter meg, let's say somebody wants 257K. Well, that's not going to fit in a 256K extent. So what CICS will do is it will combine and make basically two 256K into a half meg extent. So we're going to see this and show this visually later, but now that extent size will be treated as a half meg or 512K extent. And for the life of KIX, that 512K will be treated as one extent. So anyway, I just wanted to kind of touch on these extents, and hopefully it'll make more sense when we get visually looking at it in the dump. Moving on to slide 17.
So I want to talk real briefly about some of the new 64-bit APIs that have become available. One thing to make note of, it's only available to non-language environment A-mode 64 assembler language application programs. So I know it's a pretty big restriction, but they are, you know, we do have some 64-bit APIs. So, for example, you can do exec kix get me in 64, which will tell kix, you know, you can have get a user piece of storage above the bar. You can also free main that storage with the free main 64. Your application can also do get 64 container commands. Now, remember, this is not BTS containers. This is more like your web service containers, or, you know, passing data between between programs with a container. You can also do a put 64 container command. So those are four of the new APIs that we have in version 5. So going on to slide 18. Now, for the rest of the presentation, it's pretty much going to be looking at storage from within a dump, which is what, you know, Sarah and I do daily. So going on to slide 19, this is the storage manager domain summary, and you can get this output in the IPCS by using the verbx dfh pd690 and then with the SM option. And the first thing you see when you're looking at the domains, the storage manager domain summary, is pretty much a lot of the SIP parameters that Sarah talked about earlier. So you can see that in this dump that we have, storage recovery is turned on and transactionation is not turned on, but reentry program is set to protect. So, and we have like the, you know, current DSA, the limit and the total. So that's where, you know, the limit says they can have up to 6 meg of DSA. But currently, when this dump was taken, only 2 1/4 meg had been actually allocated and used of that 6 meg. And the same goes for, like, the EDSA. We have 100 meg EDSA limb. Of that 100 meg, only 65 meg has been used. And then, you know, the above-the-bar storage, where you have the GDSA limit. Remember, there was no GDSA limb, but we do have a mem limit, and you can see within the summary down at the bottom, we see mem limit was set to 6 gig, and the mem limit source was, you know, through a JCL. So that's kind of what you see when you first get into the storage output when you're looking at a dump. So going on to slide 20, that's just the notes page kind of talking about what I just showed you. So we'll go on to slide 21. And so following that output, now that was kind of more of the global area. We talk about DSA and EDSA. Well, now we kind of break it down and we show the usage by the sub-DSAs. So I show you here the UDSA, for example. Now there'll be, I just show you one in this presentation, but it's going to be the same output for the RDSA, the CDSA, and the SDSA. So they all have their own summaries. It pretty much tells you how much of that DSA was allocated for this particular sub-DSA. So if you remember before, we had 6 meg DSA limb, and 2 1/4 meg was allocated. Well, now we can see here that of that 2 1/4, 1 meg has been allocated to the UDSA. And it kind of tells you some other information, like the largest, how much of that storage is free in the largest free area, because then we have, like, the information that has the asterisks on the far right column. That is statistic information, so that information can be reset by the stat interval. So that's something to make note of when you're looking at this, is if, depending on when your stats are reset, it could maybe show different, you know, maybe something you weren't expecting. And then at the very bottom, when Sarah was talking about the member storage is allocated in, as extents. So this one mega storage that's been allocated to the UDSA is broken down into three extents. We have 2 1/4 meg extents, and then we have 1 1/2 meg extent. So that makes up, that's, you know, that's your 1 meg of storage. So we can go on to slide 22. This is a notes page, again, just kind of talking about what I just mentioned. So we'll go on to slide 23. And, you know, this is going to look very similar to what I just showed you. This is basically the summary. So after you look at the below-the-line sub-DSAs, now we do the above-the-line DSAs. And really there's not much new to show here except for if you go on to slide 24, the extents are bigger. So when you're talking about the 31-bit storage, extents are handed out at least 1 megabyte in size. And so you can see that there's some extents here that are 1 meg. Other than, you know, here's one that's kind of halfway towards the bottom. So you have a 6 meg extent. It also kind of tells you the how much free storage is in there. So you can kind of see if it's, you know, well utilized or looks fragmented or whatever. So going on to slide 25. That's the notes page. One thing I didn't mention, I wanted to, now that I see it in the notes, I just want to mention it right now, that some of the other information that you can see there is the access for that DSA. So because the because the access is read-only, we know that it's the ERDSA and they have rent pigum set. Otherwise, it could have access of kicks. So let's go on to slide 26, and then here's another summary. Now, this is for the above the bar, the GSDSA. Again, very similar to the last two that we looked at. The one thing that I wanted to highlight here was the size of this extent. Now, you know, you can see the 1 gig extent for the GSDSA, 777 meg is free. One thing to notice, the how we represent a 64-bit address when you're looking at a dump is with, you know, the two full words with an under bar in between them. So we can see the extent start and ending address. And again, you know, looking at the access of it, it says it's user. So we know storage protection. If storage protection was inactive, then we would see it set as kicks, so window storage protection is active because there is user key storage. So let's go on to slide 27, a note page for the GSDSA. So we'll go on to slide 28.
So after the breakdown of each DSA, the next section in the output is another type of summary. In this case, the summary is called the DSA extent summary. So this is now literally just showing you the DSA starting and ending address going from the lowest address up to the highest allocated. And over to the right, it's telling you what DSA it belongs to. And so it's just, you know, we have the extents listed under each DSA, but, you know, they get handed out and they're not in any specific order. What's nice here is you can just see the actual starting address is at 40,000 for our below-the-line DSA, a nice quarter meg boundary. And we've allocated up to, you know, 0027 box, box, box. That's what's been allocated. And over to the right, as I say, you can go see which extent, what DSA it is associated with. And you're going to see later how we would utilize this. If you had an address in a dump and you just wanted to know if it was even part of my DSA, you could come here and look and see if it falls in this range or not. This also gives you the access code. If it's C for Kix key or R for read-only or U for user key. And the size as well, you know. So moving on to 29, again, very similar to the above-the-line extent summary. And it's a lot bigger. We have the dashes in there. But, you know, I can quickly see that my above-the-line DSA starts at the address 14 and 60. And I can see where it ends. You know, my last extent goes up to 180 in all foxes. And again, gives you the similar size and what DSA things belong to. So that's just an example of the eDSA extents. And then going on to slide 30, wanted to show you the gDSA extent. And as Eric mentioned, one big difference is the 64-bit addresses. And again, the size is a gig. And yeah, that's about it. Moving on to slide 31, it's just a notes page, and moving on to 32. So the next thing after the extent summary, we're now going to get into the task subpool summary. So this is more obviously task related. In other words, when a dump was taken, whatever tasks were currently in that system are going to have information listed under this task subpool summary. And specifically, it's going to involve KIX task storage as well as the user task storage. So Eric earlier mentioned that there are only task subpools in the UDSA, EUDSA, and GUDSA. And those had kind of a subpool name that began with Baker00 and the task number, then U00 and the task number, and H00 and the task number, respectively, for the user DSAs. So there's three other task subpools we wanted to mention that come out of the KIX DSAs. So there's a task subpool M00 in the task number that comes out of the C DSA, then a C00 and the task number coming out of the 31-bit ECDSA, and then a G00 and the task number coming out of the GCDSA. So when you think of a task that's in you know, active in the system, each one of them basically are going to have six subpools, the three coming out of the KIX DSA and the three coming out of the user DSAs. And this subpool summary is laying that out for you. And basically, it's just trying to tell you, you know, how much storage is allocated in each one of these. And so in summary, you can see that they'll have the number of gets and frees, those columns. And we kind of jump to the far right column where it has the page storage, and that just kind of quickly can tell you, you'll see a lot of zero. That just means they haven't allocated anything. But when you see 4K, you see that, yes, he's gotten some KIX task storage that comes out of the CDSA. Glancing down to task number 93, you can see that he has 832K out of the U00 subpool, okay, and that's coming out of the EUDSA. Other things you learn here, as I say, besides the task number, over to the far right, we also show the transaction ID, which can be useful. So again, if we're looking at a dump and we are maybe in an SOS situation, and I suspect I can come down here and just see if a particular task has a really large amount of, let's say, EUDSA, I'm going to know I want to focus on that task. So that's one way, you know, we utilize this summary. The other thing I didn't mention is the current number of tasks at the top there. Just note that that is the total number of tasks, including system tasks. So that's another quick way to know, you know, how many, you know, tasks in my system. If I have a really large value, maybe KIX isn't healthy and tasks are backing up. So anyway, moving on to 33 is just a notes page trying to go over what I just explained. So again now, those were the task summary. And if you move on to 34, the next item you're going to get into is the subpool summary. So remember, the DSAs are allocated storage via subpools. So basically, there will be a domain subpool summary for nine of the DSAs. Basically, there's none for the user DSAs because that's only going to be in the subpool summary. So, in this summary, you can see to the far left the name of the subpool, and as Eric mentioned earlier, Kix does try to associate the subpool with what type of storage it is. For instance, the subpool LD underscore apes and LD underscore CP involve the loader domain. TS main, that's pretty obvious. That's dealing with temp storage. So anyway, these are just examples of some of the subpools. Now, one thing to know is the next column is the ID column, and we're going to talk about these IDs more later, but we just want to note that this ID is assigned randomly. In other words, the LD apes is going to be the LD apes, but the ID number that's associated with it can change when CICS is recycled because they're just kind of assigned randomly. This is similar to the task subpool summary in that it tells you the number gets and frees. And again, we would kind of focus over to the far right, to the page storage, to see if a particular subpool was real high. Now, I just gave you the example of the GCBSA, and you can see most of them just have 1 meg allocated. But for all of the other 8 DSA subpools, they will have this same breakdown. Moving on to 35, which is just a notes page, going on to 36.
So now that we've looked at all summaries, now we're going to try to get into looking at some of the storage manager control blocks. And we're going to highlight a few of these here. Every domain in Kix has an anchor block, so does storage. So we have the storage anchor block, storage manager anchor block, which is the SMA. It's pretty much the global, it's like where all the other control blocks are chained from it. And then we have, we're going to talk about a PPA and a GPPA for the above the bar version of it. And there's pretty much one PPA for each of the 9 individual DSAs, and then there's one GPPA for each of the 3 DSAs that are above the bar. And we're going to talk about some the PPX and the GPPX, which is for the extents. There's one PPX per extent. Some information you might find here, will show like this. Start the size and starting address and the ending address of the extent. And then we'll also talk about a PAM or the GPAM, and this pretty much is a map of an extent. I think it'll make more sense to when we show you that later. So let's go on to slide 37. So how does Kix manage an extent? Once an extent is allocated to a particular DSA, pages of storage within extent are assigned to the requesting subpool. So like I said before, the size of a page will be found in the PPA or the GPPA control block. Typically, a page of storage is 1,000 bytes for all the DSAs, except for the EU DSA, which is going to be hex 10,000 bytes, or for the GDSA, which a page size is a megabyte. And so you have your big extent, and within that extent will be several pages of storage. And so the PAM and the GPAM maps out what is on each page within that extent. So the offset into the PAM or the GPAM represents the page of storage that's associated with that, that it's associated with. And it'll contain the subpool ID of the subpool that owns that storage. Unallocated pages are represented by zeros in the PAM. And remember, you can go and look at the main subpool summary to see the subpool name that's associated with the subpool ID that you see in the PAM or the GPAM. So let's take a look at some of these. It might make a little bit more, make it more clear. So on page 38, this is an example of a PPA. Remember, there's one PPA per extent. Or per DSA, offset 10 within the PAM tells you which DSA that it's associated with. Or you can also see that we kind of formatted it out too in the, let's say, PPA.ECDSA. So we know we're looking at a PPA for the ECDSA. The first PP, Offset 20 is the first PPX address, which is a PPX is for an extent. So the first extent is going to be, represented in the PPX, and that's going to be at offset 20. And then at offset 28, that's where you can see the size. So again, remember I said that they're mostly 1,000 bytes except for the EUDSA and then above the bar, which is 1 meg. So we can see that at offset 28 we have 1,000, which indicates the page size is like what we would be expecting. So let's go on to slide 39, and this is what a PPX looks like. At offset 20 into the PPX, we have the size of the extent. So we know that this particular extent is going to be 1 megabyte in size, and that the start of the extent is at 14FOX00000. That's at offset 24. 28 tells you the last byte of the extent. So we know we're looking at this PPX represents a 1 megabyte extent. And then on slide 40 is the PAM. So remember, the PAM maps out each page storage within that extent. So we can see that at, and so they contain just sub-pool IDs. So at like offset 8, we see a sub-pool ID of 0003. So we know that the storage that is represented by that page of storage is associated with a sub-pool ID 0003. And the same goes for, like, at offset 34, we're looking at sub-pool ID of 00FOXBAKER, and then, you know, the page of storage at offset 9EZ is unallocated. And we're going to kind of use these a little bit later to solve a problem, so you can kind of see, like, what, you know, you're probably wondering, how is this useful? But we'll show you an example later of how we use this information. Going on slide 41, now this is the GPPA. It's going to be very similar to the PPA I showed you earlier, but the one to make note of that's a little different is the starting addresses are, again, two words. So at offset 28, that would be the first PPX address. It's going to be a two-word address. And then, you remember, the size is a little bit different for above-the-bar storage. So you can see the page size for the GCDSA is 1 megabyte at offset 38. Going on to slide 42. Now we're looking at a GPPX, you know, above the bar extent, page pool extent control area. Offset 28 is the size of the extent. Remember, extents are above the bar, starting at one gig increments. And this size is 1 gig. So that hex 400, when you convert that into decimal, it comes out to 1024 megabytes, which is your 1 gig. Offset 30 is the start of the extent, the starting address of the extent, and then offset 38 is the last byte of that extent. Again, two-word addresses. And then going on to slide 43, we look at the GPAM, the map of the extent for above the bar. And one thing that's different about the GPAM versus the PAM is that each page of storage is represented by a full word in the PAM. So the first page of storage is that first full word of the, and then the second page of storage would be at offset 04, which is the sub-pool ID 0027. The sub-pool IDs are still half words, but it's going to be, so like the storage represented at offset, so you would, sub-pool IDs are still half word, but it's a full word that represents that page of storage. So let's go on to slide 44.
So as Eric mentioned, you know, how do we use these control blocks? And we just wanted to, give you a few examples here. Sometimes, you know, we're looking at storage in a dump, and I want to know what subpool it corresponds to. You know, I want to know if it belongs to LD8s or, you know, whoever. Or even if it's in my DSA, that's another, you know, question. Or sometimes you might be in a short on storage condition and you go look at these PAMs and you just see it full of the same subpool ID versus having different subpool IDs. And, you know, you want to go correspond then this PAM or these addresses or subpool IDs to an address, basically. So basically, in the next slides, we're going to have some formulas that we utilize that can hopefully tie this together. Moving on to 45. So the first thing we want to do is kind of talk about what is the subpool ID corresponding to an address of storage. So in this case, you have an address, okay, and you want to now go see what subpool ID that page corresponds to. So what you need to know, obviously, is the address that you're interested in. You then need to find the starting address of the extent in which your address falls within. So what that means is you have some address, and the easiest way to do this would be to go look at the extent summary, and your address, if it's in an allocated DSA, would fall within some extent, and you'd want to take note of that first address, or the starting address of the extent. And then the other thing you need to know is the page size for that extent. So when you're looking at that extent, you're going to want to take note of what DSA it belongs to, and look at the PPA for that DSA to verify the page size. So when you have that information, those three things, you would utilize the following formula. So there's kind of two formulas because, as Eric mentioned, the G is a bit different in that a full word is represented by one page. So below the line in 31-bit, you would use this first formula. You would take the address you are interested in, subtract the starting extent address. You would then divide it by the page size that you got, and then you multiply by 2, and we're multiplying by 2 because each page is represented by a half word or 2 bytes. And when you come out of that, you would then get the offset corresponding to that page of storage that you would go look in the PAM. And we're going to give you an example of this, but basically you would take that offset, go to the PAM, which is under the extent that you're in, and there would be a 2-byte ID that you would tell you what subpool, or the ID at least of that subpool, that your page corresponds to. So the formula, the only difference with it for dealing with above the bar is you have a 64-bit address minus the 64-bit extent start. Again, you would divide by the page size, typically 1 meg for above the bar, and then in this case you multiply by 4 to get the offset into the GPAM. So those are just two formulas that we'll use, and we're going to show you know an example a little bit later. Moving on to 46. So now this is kind of the opposite formula, okay? So here now, you want to figure out what storage address that an offset into the PAM corresponds to. So you're looking at a PAM, you see, you know, some offsets with the same subpool ID, and you want to know what address that is. So let me see. So the example, you're looking at a PPX for 1 meg extent in the ECDSA, and it starts at address 14 Fox and all zeros. So in the PAM associated with that, you see a subpool ID of, let's say, 00 Fox Baker that's at offset 34. And you want to know what address of storage this corresponds to. Okay? So here we're going to talk about these formulas. Again, you would need to know the page size corresponding to that DSA. So in this case, the formula is, you take the offset into the PAM, you divide by 2, you multiply the page size, and then add that to the starting address of the extent. And that will give you the virtual storage address corresponding to that page of storage. So in my example, it would be 34 divided by 2, multiply by 1,000, which is the page size. You add in the starting extent of 14 Fox and zeros, and come up with the address of 14 Fox, 1 Able 000. So offset 34 into that PAM represents this virtual address beginning at 14 Fox, 1 Able 000, 4,000 bytes. For, again, above the bar, it's slightly different, and the formula is the offset into the PAM divided by 4 times the page size plus the start of the extent, and that will give you the above the bar page address. Moving on to slide 47.
So this example is going to try to tie everything together and try to answer a question. So let's say you're looking at a dump, and you want to know if the storage at address 14Fox057Dog0 is allocated, and if so, what subtuple does it belong to? So we're going to make use of the first formula that Sarah talked about. So we have our starting address of one. We're going to use the extent summary list to find that the address 14Fox057Dog0 falls in the ECDSA, and the starting address in the ECDSA is of that extent is 14Fox00000. So we're going to take our formula of 14Fox057Dog0 minus the starting address of the extent of 14Fox00000, and we get 57Dog0. So we take that 57Dog0 divided by the page size of 1,000, and we get 5, and then we times that by 2 because it's a half word in the PAM. And we get that offset able is represents the storage at 14Fox057Dog0. So now we go to our PAM for that extent, and we go to offset able, and we can see the subpool ID that's there is 10139. So that answers our question that yes. Let's go on to slide 48. So that answers our question that, yes, this storage is allocated, and it's allocated to the subpool that is represented by 0139. So now we're going to go back and use the subpool domain summary, and we can find the ECDSA, and then we look through the ID column, and we find 0139, and that tells us that it is a TS buffer subpool. So that kind of answers our question as to who that subpool is. So we knew it was allocated, now we know who it's allocated to. So we know it's being used for TS buffers. So anyway, that's kind of how you would use those formulas to answer a question. So going on to slide 49.
So we've talked about the control blocks that are used to manage the DSA, and now we just wanted to touch on the control blocks at a subpool level. You know, again, Kix has to keep track of all this. And so we just wanted to highlight that for every subpool that Kix has, there's going to be what I kind of call its mother control block, or the subpool control area. So there will be one SCA or GSCA for every subpool that Kix has. Then underneath that, there will be broken down into free and allocated areas. So right underneath it will be something called storage element descriptors, or SCE, or GSCEs. And there will be one per element that will say where its address is and the size of it. It contains really some other real good information that they added, and that is the store clock of when the element was get mained, the size of it, as I mentioned, the transaction number of the task that did the get main, along with the tran ID. And this is real useful for us when we're looking, let's say, at SOSs, short on storage, to see when its storage was allocated and who get mained it. And then again, under the allocated elements will be free areas, and those are SCFs or GSCFs. Moving on to slide 50, we just wanted to give you examples of some of these control blocks. And on 50, we're just showing you an example of a G SCA for SM ShareRU64 storage. And again, there will be one SCA for each subpool. And out of this control block, you'll get a pointer to the first allocated element at offset 68. At 88 is the pointer to the first free element. And then offset dog easy is the actual subpool ID that corresponds with SM share RU64, which is subpool ID 00 easy dog in this case. And then moving on to 51, this is what we get more excited about, I guess, is because this is the example of an allocated element. And in this case, it's SM share RU64. And as you know, shared storage is not typically associated with a task. In the past, we had no way of knowing who get mained the storage or when. We would just get, you know, a lot of shared storage in the dump and not know where it was gotten from. So this is showing you an example of an SDE, and at offset 28 is the store clock of the get main. And there I'm just showing you how we convert that store clock to meaningful data. If you put the two words together and do an IPCS command called LTOD and give it the 8 characters, it'll tell you that this was get mained on August 17th at 1644. Offset 30 is, I know, task 93 did the get main for this piece of shared storage. And offset 34, I know it was get mained by a task, a transaction ID called GT64. So that's just a real useful example of the subpool control element. So now moving on to 52.
So real quickly, I'm going to show you the how you can use the Kix Explorer to look at storage. When we did this presentation back in 2010, I think this portion of the presentation I used the TPSM WUI. And so now I'm just going to show you how to do it with the Kix Explorer. So going on to slide 53, in the Kix, if you have the Kix Explorer installed and connected to a WUI or you're directed to your Kix region through the CNCI interface, you can leverage it to view information about your storage usage in real time. You can click the operations menu button and then go down to the dynamic storage areas, and then you'll see two options you can select called dynamic storage areas or the global dynamic storage areas. And so on slide 54, I'm going to show you what the dynamic storage area view looks like. So kind of just, you know, it tells you the region I'm looking at, the region, the Apple ID of the region name, and then it kind of tells you the name of each of the sub-DSAs and how much storage it uses. Lots of good information. And then going on to slide 55, if you use the global dynamic storage area, this is more from like the global area. So you can see like the DSA totals, the EDSA limit, mem limit. And the one thing I really wanted to kind of highlight here, the one thing that's really nice about the Explorer is these views are very customizable. And so if you were to do this in your Explorer that you have installed right now, your window may not look exactly the same as mine. And that's because I went and added some columns to it that aren't there by default. And I would recommend going and looking at what's all there, because there's a lot of information, lots of different columns that you can add to this output and to get information about what you're looking at. So it's kind of powerful in that aspect. So going on to slide 56, that's just the notes page. And then so slide 57, and that kind of brings us to the end. Thank you for listening to our presentation. I hope it was educational and you have a better understanding of DSA and some of the control blocks and what we look at when we're trying to work on some of the problems. Hopefully, if you have any questions, you guys can send Sarah or I an email, and we'll get back to you. Or you can ask us now when we go to the Q&A. So let's go on to slide 58. And this is just a link to some additional resources you might find useful. So, you know, after the presentation, I would recommend you check out some of those links for more information. And so, thank you.
Thank you, Sarah, and thank you, Eric, for a wonderful presentation. We will now move on to the Q&A period. Earlier, we had a question from the audience, and the question was, are the below-the-line SCE updated to contain get main time, trend ID, etc.? And then our speakers responded by saying that, yes, the SCEs below the line will contain that information as well. Now, we do have an additional question in the group chat. And speakers, the question is, could you explain the 64-bit address of the first word with a 48?
Yes, I can answer that. So that 48 is just pretty much that's the address of where that storage begins. So the real 64-bit address would be 48 underscore and then the rest of the whatever the address is. And so, like, if it was, let's say the 48 is probably representative more like when you're just around the 2 gig bar. If you were to go even, you know, higher up, more towards, like, you know, get into terabytes or whatever, that 48 would be different. It would be a bigger value. It's just pretty much an address.
Awesome. Thank you, Eric. We've just got a new question in the group chat, and the question is, why first fit rather than best fit?
Yeah, it's a good question, and really I think it just has to come down to performance, right? It would take, you know, I don't know how much time, right, to sit there and try to go search through all the extents to get a first or best fit. So Storage Manager, when it was designed, just is, you know, trying to do as quick as possible and gets the first extent that it'll fit in. I hope that answers it.
Thank you, Sarah. All right, so at this time, if we have no other questions, we will conclude the presentation. Thank you very much for joining us today, and thank you, Sarah and Eric, for presenting today.